Welcome to Catholic Moms in the Middle, a podcast for midlife moms who want to live their lives in a way that creates a legacy of faith, hope, and love. In this show, I will equip and encourage you to become the person you were created to be by discovering your identity as a beloved daughter of God. This discovery allows you to live your unique God-given purpose to bring hope, joy, and healing to those around you. My goal is to help you encounter the love of the Father, to find healing and transformation through the Holy Spirit, so that you can courageously magnify Christ in your marriage, with your children, in your communities, and with everyone you encounter in your daily life. Hey friends, welcome. I'm Jenny Gwynn, and this is Catholic Moms in the Middle. I want to introduce you to Haley Robinson Shovlin. Welcome, Haley.
Thank you, Jenny. I'm happy to be here.
Haley has written a book called The Little Flower of Nashville, and it's about her sister, Rosie, and her battle with cancer. Through the book, she just shares Rosie's bravery, her courage to face the suffering head on. And it is so powerful and such an inspiration. And actually, when we started recording today, it's the first time that I've met Haley in person. I've seen her around, and we're both part of this amazing Catholic community here in Nashville. And the Catholic community here, probably like most Catholic communities, there are so many connections. And so a few years ago, as the Robinson family was going through this battle with Rosie, Haley would post these beautiful updates on Caring Bridge. And even though I didn't know the family personally, there were, you know, connections with cousins who were in school with Rosie or people who knew her family. And I always felt like reading Haley's post on Caring Bridge that I was like standing at the front door peeking into this horrible tragedy that this family was going through. As a mom, I couldn't imagine what they were going through, but yet, even though my heart was breaking, I could also see the love. I could see that the faith of this family, of the parents and the siblings, and it was heartbreaking, but also so inspirational at the same time. Haley, you have touched so many people through your writing and just giving us a little glimpse of what it was like to walk through this with Rosie. So I am grateful for that.
Thank you. That was truly, it was my honor to share Rosie's story. And she did all the hard work. She did the heavy lifting. I feel like I just got to kind of write down what I was witnessing. She was doing everything hard. And then it was truly a great, great honor and a great joy to get a share, and then eventually with the book to get to really invite people even more into our family and kind of open the doors of our home and allow people to see what we experienced, because Rosie's story really deserved to be shared. And we, you know, upon even reading her journal, she just had written so many times that if all she did was help, you know, one other person with sharing her story, she'd be happy. And she never really shared very much what she was going through. She was very interior and just a joy to be around. Always kept smiling, kept laughing. So she wasn't one to talk much about her struggles with people. But then, you know, in getting to share a little bit more of her life and a little bit more of her journal, we were able to give people a better picture, I think, of everything that was going on with her.
As I was reading the book, and you would include some of her journal entries, they were so profound. I would have to go back and look to see, like, were you quoting St. Faustina or St. Therese? Because Rosie's quotes, the things that she was writing in her journal, they sounded like the wisdom that would come from one of those saints.
Yeah, she was very wise. I think that was a gift from God. She had a lot of wisdom. She was always more mature for her age, I think. She was an old soul. It could have been part of it, I'm sure, is being the youngest of six. She learned a lot just from watching us, you know, trial and error, and she got smart. But she was always an observer. She was quiet as a child. She took in her surroundings. And even, you know, when we read her journal, I was even surprised. She was more interior than I realized. I'll say she suffered more than I realized. She carried more than I would have thought she would based on her external demeanor. The journal, I mean, it touched us, I think, just as much as anybody else, because it was, oh my gosh, she was suffering more than I thought. And while she really tried so hard to offer this up, and her trust in God was so innocent and childlike, she reminded me of St. Therese a lot in her writings for that reason. Just very trusting, like a child trusts a parent, and very real. And it was clear that she had a relationship with God. It wasn't just, I don't even know what the word is, but it wasn't, I don't know, it was deep, it was vulnerable, it was real. She wasn't trying to make him happy. She was being authentic, like her fears, her sorrows. You know, she called him homie in one of those lines. And
I loved that.
She said that he was her person. Like there was just so much richness and reality in what clearly was a relationship, a loving relationship with the Father that she trusted.
I often talk about when I'm leading retreats that sometimes we have this head knowledge of God and our faith. Like we can know like all the things about the Catholic faith, and we know what the Bible says about God and about Jesus. But sometimes there's a disconnect. Like we know it, but we don't know it in our hearts. And I call that our heart wisdom. And it's going to that place of, yes, I know all this knowledge, but I have the wisdom in my heart. I have an intimate relationship with Jesus. And as I was reading the book, and especially reading her journal entries, I kept thinking, Rosie has that heart wisdom. Mm-hmm. Like she not only knows who God is, but she believes it in her heart.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put that, 100%. She was very intelligent. She had the knowledge. She also received a great Catholic education, courtesy of my hardworking parents. So she definitely had the knowledge. But then exactly, she also had the knowledge of him. She knew who he was. He wasn't just a set of rules. He wasn't just Sunday Mass. Like he was a real person to her. So that's a really great way to put that. She definitely had wisdom of mind and wisdom of heart. She was the full package.
Yes. Yes. So as you look back over Rosie's life and you look back, especially the last few years, which there were so many struggles and disappointments and trials, if you could share one message about Rosie, if you wanted people to know one thing about her, what would that be?
I guess I would say what she taught me the most, and what I hope that people would see through her writings, through her story, is that when hard things happen to you, when you're suffering, when you're in the unknown, which you will all end up there at one point if you haven't yet, that it's not a lack of God's love for you. Mm. It's not a lack of goodness in the world, not a lack of him bringing about goodness, and that you can still be joyful in suffering. You know, she really taught me how to trust in pain and how to not think these bad things happening to me were from a bad God in any capacity, but she really believed that he could use her trials, her suffering, and do something really good with it. Till the day she died, she believed that she was a part of something bigger than herself. And I love one of the things she wrote right after she found out she had brain cancer was, "Lord, do your work through me." Mm. And she just believed that. And she really was a joy to be around. Like, I know that we have said that, but she really was. She was not this miserable person to be around. She kept us laughing even when she was suffering. She typically had a smile on her face. I think she taught me how to truly trust, what it actually looks like to trust, and how to not be afraid of the way in my path to heaven.
You talk about in the book, I believe this was like at the beginning when you all were waiting for her to come home from the hospital or the doctor's appointment and you knew the diagnosis. And she put her head on your shoulder and cried. And she says, you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you react and what you make of a situation. And that is how I face it. And it says, she did not choose her cancer, but she would choose her own little way each day. She would choose how she reacted, and she did. And that's so beautiful. You know, no matter whether it's a small trial or a huge struggle or obstacle that you're facing, that's so full of wisdom, but also comfort. It's not out of my control, right? The cancer might be out of control. It's something you can't control that, but you can control how you respond to it.
Yes. And I will say that's some Mark Robinson wisdom. My dad he really drilled that into us. So I will say that her response to that was a response that it was a habitual response, because all of our life, my dad would say, who can you control? And we'd kind of like grumble and be like, oh, me, dad, because that was the appropriate response. He would always say, like, you can only control yourself. You can only control yourself. And so her responding that way was definitely years of being taught that she can't control what happens around her. She can't control other people, what they say to her, what they do, but that she is always and will always be in control of her own emotions and her will and her responses to whatever the circumstances are. And she definitely was. She was going to control the story of how she answered what was being asked of her. So I think it was a very powerful response.
Because it could have been the complete opposite. It could have been full of anger. And I'm sure there were times of anger and disappointment and why me, Lord? But it seems like those situations didn't happen as often as like her firm faith in the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. And my mom even said that so many times, you know, after Rosie passed, she said this could have been so much worse. She made it better because of how she decided to act. You know, she could have been just depressed all the time or decided she didn't believe in God anymore. Just it could have gone so the opposite direction. And instead, it was life-changing for everybody that got to witness it. And she definitely did have those moments, but I will say I didn't witness any anger myself. She tended to go to her room, or I know I included this in the book, the only person that was ever receiving any of the negative emotion was really just my mom, which I thought was really actually showed the strength and the goodness that my mom had done, like, and that she had done a very good job as her mom, because Rosie was able to bring every emotion to my mom, knowing that my mom could, one, handle it, and that, two, she would give her a safe place to feel it. And then I included in the book that, you know, one of the last things Rosie said to my mom was, I love you, Mom, more than anything. And I think that that was her, I think, thanking my mom, because she really had always given her a safe place to feel anything that she needed. So I've always looked with admiration on the fact that, you know, when Rosie actually presented any of the negative emotions, which was really not often, that she went to like the safest place that she could, which was her mom.
That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you share in the book that didn't just carry her cross, but her ability to still find joy is what accomplished the mission she spoke about.
Like you said already, how she carried the cross could have really gone either way. And she could have even chosen to reject it, but she didn't. And she carried it with bravery and humor and grace and joy. And that's what even brought about the mission. There wouldn't have been one if she had chosen a different path.
Yes. So you talk about how the whole family flew over to France and you went to Lourdes. And there's a beautiful picture of the three Robinson sisters walking, and you can see the church behind you. And I know that you probably all went with hopes that she would be one of the miracles of Lourdes and that she would find healing. And, you know, it's looking in and seeing the faith of this family, your love of God, and we believe that healing is possible, right? Like Jesus showed us that. We don't understand why it happens sometimes and why it doesn't happen. But when you look at your family, you're like, okay, like this is perfect, fertile soil for this miraculous healing to take place. And yet you flew back and the very next day, the scans basically went in the opposite direction.
Yes.
How did you handle the disappointment? What was there disappointment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were disappointed. But I will say, I think that we talked about this. I do think we got a miracle in Lourdes. And even Rosie reading the entry she had written before we went to Lourdes was that she knew she wasn't physically healed. She'd received some kind of spiritual healing. And I do think that we received all the grace we needed at Lourdes to accomplish what was necessary for the remaining months of Rosie's life. Because let's see, we went to Lourdes at the beginning of August and then came back, the cancer had spread, and Rosie passed in October. So that's not a very long time frame. You know, I think it was like 9 or 10 weeks once we got home, Rosie passed away. And I think that Our Lady once again showed up for our family because she always has. I believe that's the devotion to the family rosary. She really has never left us. And Rosie had a very peaceful and holy passing. And we do believe and have hope that she went straight to heaven and that Our Lady came for her. And I think those graces for final perseverance came from Lourdes. So I do think that our prayers were answered there. It was disappointment at first, for sure, like you said, because it wasn't the prayer we wanted. But looking back, it's easy to see how it was the prayer that we needed and how it was, you know, God was able once again to bring goodness from it.
And that's so beautiful, because I do think we tend to think, it would be easy to think that, oh, it didn't work. You know, the prayers didn't work. But the fact that miracles can be more than just physical healing, there's the whole inner healing. And like you said, God giving you the graces through that pilgrimage to encounter what was coming.
Rosie was for sure the miracle. And then just what we went through those final weeks, like it was hard. She suffered a lot. It was really hard physically. She endured a lot of suffering. And yet our home was very peaceful. Mm-hmm. And I love one of the things that Father Fai said in his homily at Rosie's funeral was there was like a sense of gold about our house. There was an air of victory. And, you know, we're all going to die. So like, if you have a choice between living longer or attaining the victory and having a holy death, you know, that's what you should choose, because it's coming either way. And right. So I think if we could go to Lourdes and know that we could choose one or the other, I would always choose Rosie attaining victory in heaven. And I do think we got a miracle in Lourdes. Our Lady prepared us for what she had left, which, you know, in her mercy, it wasn't long. She right. got us ready. She sent us home, and then Rosie was called back.
I'm sure being in Lourdes, you have amazing memories. Thinking back at that time, does it bring you a sense of peace and comfort and joy?
It does. Yeah, there were like a few rough moments because, you know, when you travel to France with your family, we had a baby, a priest,
right.
Kate Robbins. But we had a lot of fun. I still remember the first night we had pizza and Lambrusco and we're just laughing. And then my brothers got there and yeah, it was a really good trip. And I do remember the sense of peace in general that Lourdes itself brings. Okay. It's a very special place. I definitely remember just being grateful to have such a special time with my family and such a special place, and to hear Our Lady's words, even to Saint Bernadette. You know, you can read what she said. And I remember thinking, she's got this. Like, it's going to be going to be okay. And it was.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Haley, I'm curious, with everything that was going on, how did you personally encounter God through Rosie's pain and suffering?
I don't think I actually was able to encounter him much or process in the moment. I will say, like, the most powerful, we were witnessing very powerful things But it was always through Rosie's suffering and her actual dying. It's the most powerful moments happen. And those took time to process. She's still like my baby sister, and I was still watching her die. And I, when she said the words, "Be it done unto me according to your will," like that was life changing. But we had to watch it. It definitely has changed my view on loss, my view on suffering and trust, and like actually what it means to trust and the peace that can come from truly trusting. And then I would say, I feel like it's deepened my own relationship with God because I've been more real with him than before. I don't know why we sometimes feel like we have to give our best self to God or be like, "Hey, I'm not happy with this, but it's fine. I trust you. Everything's fine." Actually, powerfully, a few months after Rosie passed, we ended up losing our fourth child, who we later learned was a boy, and we lost him at 13 weeks. And that was the first loss for me that me and my husband have experienced. And I was really heartbroken by it. And I took kind of what Rosie had taught me. And for the first few weeks, I was just pretty ticked at God. I was like, "All right, man, I think I trust you, but I'm upset." And I remember how she would tell him in her writings, she would write, "I'm sad. I don't want to leave my family. I wanted to have a family on earth. I really wanted to have kids. I wanted to be a mom." She said, "But those are just wants at the end of the day." So she trusted that he knew what she needed, but she would still write like, "This is hard. My body is struggling." That she was sad that the treatment could prevent her from having kids. And so I was able to say to myself, like, "I'm sad and this isn't what I wanted." And I still remember being in adoration a few weeks later and saying those phrases again that I had even just read from her, kind of taking them verbatim and feeling for the first time like I really felt like God spoke back to me. And what he said was, I said, "I really am sad. I wanted that baby." And he said, "I know, trust me." And I felt like I could trust him because she had showed me how, and she had showed me that he can work so powerfully from things that we just do not and will not understand on earth. So I believe that he can really use the lives of the little ones that we have lost, that he can use our suffering, and that he can bring very good things from these bad things that he and his permissive will allowed to happen, that he did not will because he wants these bad things for us, but permissively he allowed them because he can bring about a greater good. And Rosie taught me how to say yes to the greater good, not just yes to myself.
Yes. So you talk about trust, and that was one of the things that going through this with Rosie, that it taught you to trust. What does it mean to trust?
Yeah. Well, first, I would recommend, if anyone hasn't read it, there's a book called Jesus, I Trust in You, based on the Litany of Trust. It was written by a sister.
I am doing that right now. It is so powerful.
That is one of my favorite books, I think, that I've ever read. It is so powerful, the Litany of Trust. It seems so simple, right? Like trust, it's like, "Oh, I should be able to easily define this," but it's become so much deeper and harder. But I guess what it means is just being willing to be okay in the unknown and believe that there's goodness at the end of it, to trust and hope that like God loves you. He can do something with this. And to just not fall into despair, I guess. Maybe trust is like the opposing of despair. It's so much harder than you would think, but I guess it's just the ability to, like you were saying, have the heart wisdom. I think that trust is not in the mind. It's right. Not the wisdom that comes from knowledge. It's something that comes from, like you were saying, heart wisdom and being able to just let go of what you can't control and to still be joyful because that's the one thing you can't control. So,
absolutely. One of the things that I encourage women to do is to magnify Christ in their little corner of the world, is what I call it, to be the face of Christ for somebody. So when you look back through this time, and I'm sure there's so many examples, but how did others magnify Christ for you? like outside of your family?
I think the biggest one was that people really prayed for us. And it wasn't just that throwaway line of like, I'll pray for you. There were rosaries happening all the time. I tried to go to some, like there were regular rosaries that different people would host and people would get together. And then I will say in the last couple of weeks of her life, I do think ultimately it was Mary that was, had us in a little bubble and kept us in her mantle. But I could feel for like maybe the first time, I was like, oh my gosh, people are praying for us right now. Like, that's what this is. That's this feeling. We have people. And then, you know, I'm not sure if my mom cooked. I know my mom cooked, but she didn't cook much at all for like several months because there was an ongoing meal train. Physically, people brought food. There were lots of masses. And then I will say when Rosie passed at her visitation and her funeral, I was just in awe of the number of people that came. It was not what we would have expected or anticipated. But there were so many people. And I think that just people really showed up for her and for our family.
As we wrap up, Haley, is there like any final thoughts you want to share?
Actually, as you were mentioning, you know, that you, I love that idea of magnify God in your corner. Back to Mother Teresa and Therese, who both exemplified so well that, you know, we don't have to do these great things, but we can do these little things with love in our own corner. And that is a great deed. And that will trickle down into touching people and doing great things. Rosie's a really good example of that. She never tried to do anything outside of her own family, her own circle. She was never seeking to talk about what she was going through in the time. And here we are today. And people that she never met on earth, she's touched. She never sought to do more. She never tried to draw people to her. She really just did everything naturally, which I think is what God asked of us. And she really only would share briefly with some people, but she just took encounter by encounter, if that makes sense. And it was the people that came into her life every day. She didn't go seeking anything out. And then, you know, the week before she died, when she was really greatly suffering, and she was getting really antsy because she couldn't move her legs. So she couldn't walk, and her hand coordination was fading. She was having trouble. She couldn't do anything. And that's kind of what she said. She said, I feel lazy. I can't do anything. Her body was really failing her. And someone said, you know, Rosie, you could be saving 1,000 souls or something. Like, you're doing important work. And that doesn't feel that way. Just trying to like give comfort. Cause really, what do you say to someone that says that? And her response is one that I'll remember always. She said, one would be enough. And then she never complained again about not being able to do anything. So I think if I were to ever share a message for people and that concept of like in your corner, just remember like one soul, one person, one anything is enough. I do believe Rosie probably helped thousands of people. One was enough, and you could see that she carried that to heart and that for the rest of her time on earth, she never complained about that again. So
that's amazing. Because how often do we complain about silly things?
Every day for me. So
no, I'm the same. Yes, that's beautiful. So if people want to read The Little Flower of Nashville, where can they find the book?
Yeah, so we have a website, The Little Flower of Nashville, and it's very easy to use, I think. And the book is on there. We sell through the site. We do it all ourselves. We run the company. And we ship through there as well. So it's pretty user-friendly and everything's done on the one domain, so you can find it there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Haley, for coming on and sharing your witness, your testimony about your sister Rosie. She was 19 and she lived such a beautiful life. Like, she packed more into her life than most people do who live to be in their 80s or 90s, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with you. She really did. She had a very short and brief life, but one that I think was very touching and very, very worthwhile. So,
yes. And it's very obvious when you read the book. It's just it's a beautiful testimony to what God intended a loving family to look like, the love and the support. And I think it's one of those books that I will pick up again and again, just because Rosie's journal entries are so powerful. But like you said earlier, we always have some sort of trial or difficulty that we're facing. And if you're uncertain how to approach it, Rosie's way, it'll give you, it's like a blueprint of how to get through it.
I think so. She was very determined to choose her own way. She chose a good one, and she's definitely helped me get through many things. So I'm incredibly grateful to her for the way that she chose to live her life and to help me learn what it means to live a life well.
Would you close us in prayer?
Yes, I would love to close us in prayer. I'm going to read actually from the last page of the book, just a little snippet that we have, and we can just kind of pray through the words maybe, and hopefully they'll touch someone's heart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima once said to three small children, "Will you offer yourselves to God and bear all the sufferings he sends you in atonement for all the sins that offend him and for the conversion of sinners?" The children said, "We will." "Then you will have a great deal to suffer, but the grace of God will be with you and strengthen you." May we all have the courage to echo the children's "we will" when God asks great things of us. Our Lady showed us the way with her fiat, which continues to echo even now. It echoes in the faithful who trust in God and God's promises. It echoed in Rosie every day and in her final days as she followed in Our Lady's footsteps with her own, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." I pray that her story helps us all to learn how to trust even more, to follow in God's footsteps, and to give our own yes to God with whatever he asks, and that we know with confidence going forward in it that we don't have to be afraid, because like Rosie showed us, that he will walk the way with us. He will even walk it in front of us, so that we, everyone listening, everyone around the world, that we can echo with our own fiat to set the world truly on fire with the love of God, and that every encounter we have with someone in our corner, that they would leave it knowing that our Lord loves them and cherishes them.
Amen. Haley, thank you again so much for being with me today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jenny. Thank you for having me and for believing in the mission of Little Flower of Nashville, believing in Rosie's story and in all the goodness that spreading it can do.
Amen. All right, friends, until we meet again next week, go out and magnify Christ in your little corner of the world. God bless. To learn more about my ministry for midlife women, go to CatholicMomsInTheMiddle.com and be sure to check out Magnify, my online community for women, where you will grow deeper in your faith. You'll find inner healing in areas where you have struggled for years, and you'll be equipped and encouraged to become the person God has called you to be so that you can go out and magnify Christ in the world. The music for this podcast was written by Sean Williams, Catholic composer and musician. You'll find more of Sean's original music at musicbyseanwilliams.com. That is music by SHAWN Williams.com.